Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, alongside Steve Harmison, looking back at an absolutely incredible day at Headingley in the third test match between England and India. It's one that England could not have dominated more if they tried. Where this series goes from here is anybody's guess, because this one has taken us all by surprise. You're listening to Following On. Well, if you are listening to the Following On podcast, you know by now, England, wow. Virat Kohli winning the toss, deciding to bat under cloudy skies. Does he not know the old adage? And, he certainly does now. I don't think he'll ever do that again. 56 for four at lunch after Jimmy Anderson had nipped out the top three wickets, including that of Kohli for just seven. He took KL Rahul's wicket in the first over of play. Rahane going the ball before the lunch break and Pant going shortly afterwards. Two wickets for Robinson. And then the backup bowlers weighed in. Sam Curran and also Craig Overton. Overton with three wickets, Sam Curran with two. India skittled for 78. The question was, could England's batsmen pick up where the bowlers left off? Well, yes, they could. Both Burns and Hamid went past 50. Hamid dropped as he went past 50. And Burns pretty much chanceless. 120 with that loss at stumps, a lead of 42 already. So where do we start? Well, we start with the story of the day.
Story of the day.
So, Steve Harmison, you tipped England to win this test match. There's still a bit of work to do, but, well, not even the most positive, optimistic or blind England cricket fan could have predicted a day which saw it. India bowled out for 78. Although, bear in mind, England did get bowled out for 67 at this very ground and went on to win the match 2 years ago. And then reached stumps without losing a wicket. And Haseeb Ameed's gone past 50, as has Rory Burns. It's been as good a day for England as it's been a bad day for India.
Yeah, that's perfectly summed up. A lot be made of the toss. I don't think the toss is as big as what 78 players, 120 for none, looks like. I don't think India have done themselves their captain any favours by Virat Kohli batting first. Anderson was brilliant. England were brilliant. Josh Butler. I'm gonna mention three or four names here who I've been critical of in the last, well, certainly in the recent past, but in the last week or so, and they deserve credit. They deserve praise. Joe Root for sticking by Sam Curran, bringing in Overton. Looking at the surface in the way it did, it could have been household changes. We could have panicked. Butler taking five catches. In and around lunchtime. These guys, when we sit here and not so much criticise, we try and pick the bones out of what's happening. And I hope they don't listen. But if they do listen, we try and be as critical as we possibly can with objective to see that, what is actually happening and understand what's happening in the game. What I'm telling people now is the amazing courage and belief that these guys have had this morning to go out and perform the way they've done after the criticism they got last week, for me, is amazing. And they've been brilliant. And they need all the noise that the Western Terrace give today. Yeah, I should be right behind that cricket team, because Butler took his catches, Anderson bowled brilliantly, England bowled brilliantly for me, and throughout this Test series, apart from 1 hour of absolute madness. And you've got a guy who his career was over two years ago, and he's now got 50 in a Test match for the third time in five Test matches. This is the perfect day for England. You know, Joe Root lost the toss, but it's still the perfect day for England, because it was the only thing that England didn't do right all day.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous. Let's start with Anderson, because, you know, he's written a couple of articles in the press saying that he did let the situation get to him at Lord's. He said it was painful to play well for 4 days and essentially throw away a Test match in a session or two. But today he bowled an exemplary line and length, because it was all about pitching it up. They pitched it up. And what did India do? They went for those big booming drives. And, you know, if the tone was set at times by England at the top of the order, the tone was set by India today, because that was a really poor shot from Rahul. And of course, Anderson went on to continue his hoodoo over Kohli as well.
Yeah, and again, I'll go back to the toss. When you talk about how it wasn't this, you know, car crash decision by Virat Kohli. Jimmy Anderson, because of the decisions that the Indian batsmen made. Jimmy Anderson's bowled, he's got 600 and odd Test wickets, bowling balls in and around off stump, taking the ball away. You know, he needed a little bit of overhead condition cover to help him swing it. But this is what Jimmy Anderson's done for years. And the decision-making of the Indian batsmen was just all at sea. So I think even on a good wicket, a flat wicket, which you'd had no hesitation to bat first on, Jimmy Anderson still would have had 3 for 6. Simple as that. You know, we've seen what he did in Chennai on the flat wickets out there, the 3 wickets and no, you know, short space of time. This is why this guy is the greatest. And I think that's what happened there. But the pressure that they're put on, both ends were relentless. And, you know, there'll be a lot of head scratching. If there was head scratching in the England dressing room after Lord's for that hour of madness, there'd be head scratching in the India dressing room right now, because we're staring at a 2.5 day Test match. You know, England, even if England only get 300, I can still see England bowling India out for less than, what, 230 again on a surface like that, if India have got the same mindset in the decision-making that they do have, because, you know, England's bowling attack for me is perfect for these conditions. Pitch up, good lengths, not much pace, which means the ball's not going to go short and wide and crashing all over the shop, asking questions of batsman's technique in and around off stump. Questions weren't answered by the Indian batsman the same way as the England batsman had the answers to the way the Indian bowler was bowled.
What is it about this series with bowlers taking 2 wickets in 2 balls? I think it's the seventh time it's happened. Time we've been on a hat-trick in this series. But yeah, in terms of the mindset of India, something just didn't seem right today. Not with the bat, not with the ball. Ishant Sharma, when he bowled, he was so wayward. It was like he just bowled 100 overs over the last couple of days. He was looked so, you know, ill at ease with himself. And the fielding let India down as well. By the point Hamid edged to Rohit Sharma, the game's almost gone. But the batting, you know, we criticised Dominic Sibley for only scoring 18 in a session a couple of games ago. Well, Rohit Sharma did that today. And then it's almost like he didn't know when he was supposed to try and take on the bowling as wickets fell at the other end. Rahul with that shot at the start, Kohli as well. At no point did India look comfortable batting. At no point did they look particularly threatening when bowling either. Conditions did ease. I mean, you weren't here, but I mean, it was so cloudy earlier on. And then the sun came out pretty much within 20 minutes of England batting. But we know that with Headingley, don't we? That's why it surprised me that there was, you know, the fact that India was were always going to bat. I think maybe it's the arrogance of the situation gets involved. You know, it's the four-seamer strategy. It's the we're going to win our way strategy. Full credit to India when it works. But similar to when England's ODI, we play it our way strategy, doesn't work, you're going to get criticised.
Yeah, and it's 100%. And I think that magnifies in the team selections as well. We've said many times on the Creator Collective, on Following On, or on YouTube, that in England, you know, you can get away with playing four seamers. But if all four of them are number 11s, and Rashid Pant comes out with his roller skates on at number six, this is a batting unit to be had at, to be got at. You know, you've got 3, 4, 5, who are second worst average in the last 18 months. This is not, on paper, this is a very, very good England, India side. But games are not played on paper. And again, I go back to the, you know, like you said, right at the very, very top. The toss, I don't think it was a crucial game changer for me. I thought the mindset and the, if you want to call it arrogance, being too confident, cockiness, whatever you want to say, India were miles away today. Ishant Sharma bowled a 10 ball over, first over of the day, when you've just been rolled over for 78. And I think that set the tone. As much as Anderson set the tone for England, 100 test match, experienced opening bowler, wicket in his first over, Ishant Sharma, 100 test match, different skill, different type of bowler. But he bowled the first over, and the over was a 10 ball over, and India was straight away looking like a shambles. So for me, that summed the day up. That summed the day up. Anderson's first over and Ishant Sharma's first over. And I think that's where the two teams are so, so far apart in this test match.
Moment of the day.
There were a few moments to look back on today. I'll pick out Anderson dismissing Kohli. You know, there's been a lot written in the build-up to this game. Kohli had said some stuff in the press conference. There was a report in the Telegraph that the players had a bit of a bust-up in the long room at Lord's. Anderson saying he lost the plot a bit when Bumrah was just trying to knock his block off on the field. He felt bad that he'd basically allowed his own personal situation to detract from the team. So you can bet your bottom dollar when Anderson took Kohli's wicket today. I was watching. There didn't seem to be anything said, but don't need to say anything there, do you?
No, you don't need to say anything. You just had to look at Jimmy's reaction. This is a guy who's got 600-odd test match, 620-plus test match wickets. And yes, he's going against one of the greats of all time, but he's celebrating the difference between getting a wicket in the first over of a test match of somebody who has been very, very good in Kale Rahul and somebody like Virat Kohli. The two celebrations were complete and utter, you know, the contrast was ridiculous. And that, for me, was everything that came out of Lord's. Everything that came out of Lord's. And again, you know, we are so blessed. We are so, so blessed. I just wish he'd retire so I stopped saying nice things about Jimmy Anderson, because I watch him and I can't understand how he does it. I don't understand how he does it, but it doesn't surprise me the way he does it because of his natural skill level and his determination to get better is why we will be, when you come to the end of a career like Jimmy Anderson's going to have, the person that's going to come up and take the new ball for England for the next 10 years, what shoes to fill that is going to be.
Well, let's just talk briefly about the backup bowling, because it was really important that Sam Curran, who had a bit of a horror show at Lord's, didn't he, last time out?
Yeah.
There was a little bit of a question about whether he would play. And of course, Craig Overton, you know, I was of the opinion that maybe Mahmood would get the nod and should get the nod. Well, I was wrong. He took three wickets. So they just made sure, after Anderson and Robinson had bowled their spells, that at no point India got off the hook, really. And both took two wickets and two balls, and Overton ended up with three. So that was real credit to them.
Yeah, and credit to Joe and the selection panel as well for picking Sam Curran, because we all had him out. You know, we all had the young man out, and you know, he stuck by his man. And you know, good on him for doing that. And good on Sam for standing up, because there'd have been a lot of pressure on the young man's shoulders. He bowls the first spell that goes all over the shop for three overs. And all of a sudden, where's his head at after England are getting off to the start? So, you know, good on Sam. Craig Overton spoke afterwards saying he's changed a few things. He's got things going. He's come off the back of a very good start of the first-class career. You know, we had him on the Cricket Collective, I think third, fourth week of the season, me and Manners talking to him. And he said he's changed a few things. He tried to get some momentum through his run-up, tried to bowl that little bit fuller to get the ball to bounce and more consistent, and it come to fruition. The wicket was perfect for Sam. Through the air was perfect for Sam, overhead conditions. And the wicket didn't have any great deal of piercing, so it was about just creating pressure and making the batsman make a mistake. And the two guys back, the Robinson and Anderson, brilliantly. So, you know, fair play to the selection panel all round and the two guys for going and just keeping the pressure on India because, yeah, India had nowhere to go.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, prediction time. Well, I'll ask you that. Is there any way back in this match for India? And what do you expect to see on day two? The weather conditions look like they're going to be a bit cloudy, but it's going to be a nice day.
I don't see any way back for India in this test match. And if cloud comes, then this game just goes fast forward even more. I can't see this game getting beyond the halfway mark of the test match. I really can't. England back till tea time tomorrow. And they'll be, 310, 320? If that's the case, the win by an innings, bowl India out just on lunchtime on day two. This wicket, yes, it will possibly get better if the overhead conditions allow. But when you've got scoreboard pressure and the pressure that reads 78 plus 310, as a batting unit, you're going out there and you're always looking and the deficit is just massive, then that just slump on the shoulders and the pressure that comes and it eventually gets to you. So I've been in that position before at Headingley. It wasn't pleasant when we got beat off Australia in 2009. We got bowled out in a set, more or less a session, first day, and Australia got 400 and plenty. And we never even looked like getting back into that test match. Got a funny feeling that's going to be the way India's going to be feeling come the end of day two.
I have a very, very strong memory of that test match. I was here with Goffey. It was the first time I ever met Goffey, and we worked together on that series. And I was standing at the rugby ground end, which is where the media centre used to be. And I was out the back. I was having a cigarette, actually. I used to smoke then. And I was watching as Paul Collingwood and Andrew Strauss walked in on day three or four, and they looked miserable. And I looked at them, and England were 1-0 up, weren't they, with that. And we were just about to lose. But I looked at them and I thought, cheer up, lads. You could be winning the Ashes this time next week. And you know what? They were.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. No, we had a 4 o'clock in the morning wake-up call on the morning of the first morning of the test match. And it just, the day didn't get any better from there, to be honest. Got ball out. I remember getting hit in the throat by Peter Civil. And I was like, just being recalled back into test match cricket. And then I got Simon Kattach out early, round the corner. Ravi Bapara caught it. Yeah. And I thought, wow, we've got a chance here. And Ricky Ponton came in.
I remember.
One of the best innings I've ever bowled at. Anything, I had to go short at him because I felt as though I needed, and this is what the Indian bowlers are going to be feeling tomorrow. I need to take wickets. So all of a sudden, bouncers are going to come into play. You're going to try and bowl that extra, that little bit fuller to try and bring slip into play. And if you don't get it quite right, you could travel round Headingley. And boy, did I travel round Headingley that day. He smashed it everywhere. And they got 400 and plenty. We never looked like getting back into the test match. And I've got a funny feeling that might happen to the Indian bowlers tomorrow. If they don't make inroads by, at least by drinks, 3-4 wickets in the first session, then I can only see this game going to a round about halfway stage, which is, you know, halfway on day three. And England will be back in the series for me, 1-1 going to the Oval.
Wow, that would be great. And it would also be great for our families who will see us on Saturday or Sunday. Hami, we'll be back following on from day two here at Headingley. Could we see as one-sided a match or rather a day's play as we've seen on day one? Well, possibly. It's what India need, as long as it goes their way. But it could be a punishing day as well for the visitors. Whatever happens, you could join us here on the Following On podcast. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.